hear that?
No.
This is madness.
No.
With 900 years old, you reach for the good you are not.
Nerf herder.
I am a Jedi.
Little short for a stormtrooper.
We have what they grow beyond.
Hello and welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Chris, I am Sam. Sadly, we are not joined by Mike. He is he's in disguise, dressed as the enemy, but doing some really great deeds. He's traveling. Guys, you wanna talk about what Mike's up to?
So
Mike is frightening children dressed as the henchmen of their favorite villains from movies.
I think Mike's being the best uncle in the world. He's dressed up as a stormtrooper, surprised his nephew halfway across the country by dressing up as a stormtrooper so they can go trick-or-treating together.
A surprise so severe, and a week before Halloween, that the child at first seems to think that his house has been legitimately invaded.
I mean, the stormtroopers are bad guys, so he has the appropriate response.
But his response, though, I mean, you guys can't see this video, but just so you know that we're a part of each other's lives personally, his response when he realizes it's his Uncle Mike is the sweetest thing in the world.
It's amazing.
I thought it was a really nice idea, but I did think that the full Imperial march and recreating the scene on Tatooine
it was a little
that Luke
strange.
Discovers was really
I didn't understand
I thought having the entire family in handcuffs was a little
yeah
much.
Exactly
right,
exactly
right
a little weird but way to go
Mike. Mike, you're doing great things. We miss you, and we'll have you back next week for a proper proper introduction to the pod and proper a proper host, because I'm sure, as our listeners will soon find, you're really the glue that keeps this this pod on track week to week.
Hello and welcome to the Droid.
We've already done that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'd like
sorry.
To say that I have a few skills in this life. One of them, if you're wondering, is that I can ice skate backwards, but one of them is not that I prep really hard for podcasts. So hopefully you guys can make up. If I'm holding the weight on the skating backwards thing, guys. So you guys hold up your weight on the other stuff.
Hello and welcome to the now. Is it now?
I did prep really hard. I think the first thing we need to we want to talk about is that just was it just yesterday that
sound
news broke?
Speeds and go.
Hello and welcome to the Droid. Sorry,
I think we just started there. Honestly,
yeah, no.
Let's just roll. Okay,
let's
just chop off the beginning. Right. Okay, cut this part out.
We had a good segue. I'm sorry, Sam.
No, we want to talk about, I think yesterday, just last evening, news broke that that composer John Williams, who's done not just the previous 8 saga films, but also, you know, a litany of Spielberg and Lucas and just classics of America cinema, was
hospitalized. Is there a movie score you can remember? John Williams wrote it.
Have been independent of, you know, prior to this news, I was listening to a podcast that I would love. We'll put recommendations up front because I'm doing one now. This is what happens when you're not here, Mike. There's a podcast called The Art of the Score, and it's an Australian podcast that's hosted by a trio of musicians and composers, and and instructors, and I think they're all part of the maybe it's the Sydney Philharmonic. I'm not sure, but they're really talented musicians, and they go through film scores and they break them down. And they're I discovered them by way of a recommendation because they did a trio of episodes on the James Bond films and all the scores to those. And I thought it was remarkable just how different movie to movie those were. When even as a fan, I could only kind of name one or two main themes, and they're all actually very different sonic landscapes for those movies, but they have so many episodes on many of the great scores from John Williams, Jurassic Park, the Indiana Jones films, the Star Wars films, and it's just incredible. These guys they know music and they break it down, and so I feel like I have in the last 10 days I've been texting you guys a lot about it, but I have been my appreciation for him. has gotten so much deeper, which surprised me because, you know, he's the composer we can all name. Mm-hmm. But like what he does is incredible. And so I know we all wish him a really, really speedy recovery. But do you guys have any favorite, maybe we could talk about this, is, you know, favorite cues from Star Wars and not from Star Wars? Go around the horn.
I have one actually really specifically. It's one of my, it's actually really recently. I mean, John Williams obviously is integral to film history. Mm-hmm. You know, like film music and he are like forever intertwined for what he's done for it. And it's strange that of all of his, he talks about like he's talked about with doing so many Star Wars movies, how he has such a large glossary of themes to pull from. And I think that that's really true. And I've spoken about this maybe on the podcast, but certainly in my, my home life, ad nauseum. So I'll share it here. there's a musical cue in The Last Jedi during the Battle of Crait. It's mm-hmm. in the song, The Battle of Crait, where, the Millennium Falcon shows up and it's all like very exciting, like action, you know, dun, adventure dun, music dun, that's dun, kind dun, of yeah
dun, dun.
Yeah, and then it seamlessly, when the Falcon shows up and then goes into the mines underneath Crait, it seamlessly goes into the TIE fighter battle sequence from A New Hope. Mm-hmm. And it's tying in the first time Rey is using the turret as with the first time Luke used the turret. Also fighting TIE fighters with the Rebellion, now the Resistance. And it's such a beautiful, you know, it could only be done that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because yeah. because the fact that he uses the music there makes it not on the nose, but it's just so emotionally resonant. And you may not even be, unless you really were paying attention and being like, oh, that's when this happened, that's when this happened. You might just be like, cool, Star Wars music. But the way that he has filled themes like that throughout his entire career and be able to intertwine them and really understand from a story perspective where things belong, I think is amazing. And that's one of my favorite ones, especially modern John Williams.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's the first time that I realized that kind of music and an image can be mixed together. Like every character, like Leia's theme, every character in the Star Wars universe has a kind of their own theme. And then when they intertwine together, he's kind of intertwining those themes, which is really beautiful. I mean, I think just there's not a time in a single week where I don't just hum kind of like the Jedi coming out theme where it's like that dun 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 dun, dun. Like that idea of like just gaining power or realization, like that theme right there is pretty much set the tone for my life. Like I'll be reaching for the remote and I'll be trying to get it and that theme will be playing in my head.
Chris used to have a bit, as I've brought up several times on the pod, Chris and I lived together for a number of years and you know, we would get home from work, you know, roughly around the same time, 6-7 o'clock most evenings, and you know, usually we were either, you know, one of us was cooking dinner or ordering dinner and we'd settle on something to watch, usually together. But if I ever beat Chris home and I was already in the living room, usually Chris would sit down on the couch, sort of look around the room, and then he would reach out his hand slowly and whistle. And that meant that I was supposed to hand him the remote, which
motion.
I did.
In slow motion, as if I were using the Force. We've all done it. So, we've all looked at the remote control and tried to use the Force to grab it.
Of course we have. Of course we have.
I'm going to bring up just two. And honestly, I'm torn even. Because I've been listening to this podcast, I feel like so many are fresh in my mind. Mm-hmm. The first, I think, would be for me, like what is for me the most resonant, which is that, like, I believe that is actually called like the Force theme or the Force motif.
I believe it is called the force theme.
Mm-hmm. Specifically, I think the music that always gets me from Star Wars is the medal ceremony at the end of the original Star Wars, where they're walking, and it's like it has that it's that Force theme, but it's played with the brass, and it's like heavily syncopated, that it's like a little bit, it's almost choppy and like in your face. And I think that, again, to me, that's still my favorite of this whole series. And that moment when they look at each other before walking in and then walking up and just like Chewie roaring and the smiles on everyone, like it is such a victorious moment. You know, it swells up in me. And that song to me will like put a smile on my face any day of the week, anytime. So that's probably my favorite single cue. I will share just one more because I want to really encourage our listeners. I think we should do a deep dive on the scores of these movies. But I will also say, give a listen to the Art of the Score if you're looking for it now. I learned through them, there is the cue when Luke returns to the moisture farm, to the Lars farm, and he discovers his aunt and uncle have you know paid the ultimate price while the Empire was searching for the droids. That
my dad always made me cover my eyes at that point. What happens?
Oh, they're just drinking blue milk, Ryan. Don't worry.
Oh, cool. And yeah. They're like, go on. Anyway,
yeah, it's
sorry,
just
Sam,
soured blue milk is weird.
But the cue actually incorporates like five of the six main themes. Mm-hmm. The only one not in there is actually Luke's theme.
Oh wow.
But the themes that it actually plays, it starts with the Force theme.
Sure.
It has this like underpinning of it's this like old Latin piece called Dies Irae, which is like a very foreboding like dun 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 that they use and everything.
Yeah. Which probably gets used in Phantom Menace.
It does. It absolutely does. It's a big part of the Darth Maul fight, the Duel of the Fates.
Mm-hmm.
And but it also introduces they have the Death Star theme, which is kind of the bum ba ba ba. And then Vader's, it's the sort of predecessor to the Imperial March, and they even have Leia's theme in there. So like all this stuff is woven in seamlessly. And I think, you know, maybe we can find it. I don't know. I don't want to make more work for us. But just go listen to that theme because
I don't want to make more work for our lawyers.
Is it the binary sunset theme? Is that what that is?
I
know one of the tracks.
Well,
it's
not that cue.
Okay. Okay.
Because
I know one of the tracks around that time is called Binary Sunset, which I'm just always fascinated
it's
by.
It's probably when Luke is looking at the two suns.
That's when he's looking out.
Yeah, it's when he's looking across the horizon.
You mean in Last Jedi?
Yeah. Yeah.
I barely remember that. I've only seen one time.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I once, just, you know, since we have the opportunity to talk about John Williams, every year he, I think every year in like August in Los Angeles, he does a concert where he conducts, I think the LA Philharmonic, doing like his most famous movie themes. It's like a really like, we're going to play the hits tonight kind of thing. And I think he usually does like a whole weekend. And when I lived in LA, I got to go and it like, not just like being in the presence of him, you know, because I was very far away, but that's cool. And like he kind of speaks a little bit, and he's always like, you know, if you've ever seen interviews with him, he's just like this very like gentle, like sweet man who just seems to be like a craftsman and doesn't seem all that aware that he's an absolute genius, you know. He had this moment where he was playing first it's also a night where you're like, oh my god, he's written so many, like, this dude, we've forgotten he's written more masterpieces than most people actually write in their lives.
He's a Bach Mozart type fellow.
Yeah. And he was talking, they did a song from Tintin.
Interesting.
And he said like, oh, I always wanted to do a swashbuckler. And a few years ago, me and Steven got to do one. And it's like, he was probably 80 at the time. And it's like, he was still like excited because he was like, oh, I get to score a pirate movie. And like that kind of excitement is like really incredible.
Yeah.
And someone who could just be like, I poop out masterpieces.
And also I have to imagine that just like French horn players across the universe are just like, thank God for John Williams. Cause like, I can't think of any other music other than like the classical music scores that would use French horn, and he is just really wailing on that thing.
Oh, does it, he plays it too?
I don't know if he's playing it or not.
Listen, John, if you're listening, Mr. Williams.
Yeah.
If you're listening, and you know, we of course we and the whole community and the whole world wish you a speedy recovery. The second you get out of the hospital, come on the Droids Pod. If you know,
open invite. It can
be
in the
push.
It can be in the middle of an episode.
Recovery. We'll have you on as soon as you're ready, buddy.
Yeah. Johnny, baby, we got a mic standing by.
We got you. I actually
apparently he called on the set of Force Awakens. He always called JJ baby.
I think it was a Tavis Smiley interview.
Oh, that's funny.
Where he talked about that. Apparently, he calls everybody like baby, which I think is the most.
Oh, that's funny. He's like old Hollywood dude. I mean,
yeah,
you,
it's
jazz.
Nice that you
he's
like
a,
hear
he's
that
a jazz
he,
man.
That he it's nice that he's not calling everybody toots. You know what I mean?
He's like been around since also like the beginning of like that movement. He was just kind of like an indie guy, and he knew George and Walter Murch and all those dudes, and just knew sound editing and knew what he could do. And I think one of the major appeals of Star Wars was like George Lucas did not want to have this kind of campy, futuristic modern soundtrack. He wanted it to be a timeless soundtrack to kind of set it apart from movies of that genre. And I think that allowed John Williams to kind of build in those themes, but also give it this kind of timeless quality.
Also, like, imagine, like, listen, the Star Wars movies are great. You throw like a 1977 science fiction score on that thing, you know, with like a lot of synth moving into the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the movie it is now.
Right.
I just don't think it
immediately
like
dates it. And I know, all right, Ryan, sit down, but there are some people that don't care for the prequels, but those people still have to acknowledge.
Ryan, sit down. Ryan, sit down. Sit down, please.
The,
all right.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Ryan, are you sitting down?
How much time has passed?
Even those people, I'm not saying I'm one of them. I am not. They have to acknowledge that the soundtracks presented in those movies are probably better than any soundtrack in a movie of that year. Like,
what people are you talking about?
I'm just talking about, I'll call them anti-prequelist. Oh no. Ryan, sit up. Oh, get up. Sorry. I'm just saying that people that like may not care for the prequels. Okay, he's still sitting. Good. All right.
That one didn't work.
I thought he was gonna fall out of his chair again. Oh no. Oh, actually it's just saying the word chair, I think, at this point. What was that? Is that a French horn? But I think the music of those movies, and also he introduces, like, there's electric guitar in some of the chase through
you love that sound.
I love that,
because it's like, is it diegetic? Is
yeah.
it not diegetic?
Yeah, I don't know where it's coming. Is it coming from those weird electric things? And then
no, but you talked about, like, Sam, you talked about intertwining themes, like that last the battle between Obi-Wan and Anakin that intercuts with Yoda and Palpatine fighting.
Oh my gosh.
It's like every Star Wars theme you've ever heard.
Yep. Yeah.
Seamlessly put together.
Yeah. It's,
and then
it's
thematically like mix, like changing the order of notes as, if you like really pay attention, he changes the order of melodies like as the the tide is turning and fights.
Yep.
It's unreal.
And I'm sure if we pulled apart like dun 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 dun, like we'd see it's just like a minor version of a theme that we've already like
I tried to pull it apart once to see if it was like the Imperial theme like a different order.
It's so like layered in that respect that he's just like building upon this weird sound world that he made.
Well, it really is incredible, but I also think, you know, we talk, you know, George Lucas in 1977, you know, chose to make Star Wars. He kind of in his head knew that it might be a midpoint in what he visualizes, like a serialized, you know, ongoing saga, you know, Flash Gordon-esque. But nobody knew it was going to work. But if anybody thought or knew it might work, it's, you know, it's George Lucas. But you got to remember that, like, John Williams came on and probably at that point thought, well, this is weird, but he cranked out a score that was excellent. But can you imagine that then, like, can you imagine scoring Star Wars? I guess that's what I'm asking. Yeah, it like becomes, it takes over your life in a weird way. Yeah. Obviously not his, because he's scored every great movie that's ever been made, and it seems. But just the idea that that one movie that probably to him was just a job and might have been a kind of challenging job at that, like coming from a jazz background and everything, being like, all right, well, let me do my best, but not being sure that it was going to be anything more than just a B picture, you know, a sci-fi movie, and having it turn it, you know, it's like he's done eight of them so far, and he's you know, gonna go and do episode nine next. It's like,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's an incredible wealth of thing, and it's like he's continued to build on it, and for it to continue to sound fresh and exciting all these years later. I mean, it's a testament both to like the initial work he did, even on a project that wasn't guaranteed to go further than that one movie, and it's a testament to like what he brings to every project. I mean, the fact that it's not just a rehash, you know, we certainly we get those themes movie to movie, but you know, they still sound good and new and fresh and exciting. What an incredible talent. And you know, just as Ryan said, you know, we wish him a speedy recovery, and and we're all looking forward to not only what he does in episode 9, but just everything he has that he's going to do next.
Yeah, for sure. Whatever Spielberg movie he's going to do next.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
So you're going to write the score for West Side Story?
Ooh. He's going to rewrite it.
I'm gonna move on from.
There's been a crime, Sam.
Oh,
we want to talk about the crime that's been committed.
That was not where I was gonna go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's been a crime. Why just Sam?
We had kind of a long conversation beforehand, like who was gonna try to do their best, Mike. Which, like, if you guys go back and listen, you'll notice that Mike's always the one who just keeps the three of us on task, and like keeps us from sounding like the idiots we are.
I'm literally walking down the street right now. I don't even know what's going on.
So,
we literally just did a bit where I fainted three times.
That would not happen on a Mike episode. Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what.
Hello and welcome to the droids you're looking for.
No, I want to transition over into...
We should start recording soon.
We're talking about episode 9, and one of the things that you know, I just saw yesterday, this isn't really much for conversation, but something that is interesting is a lot of movies have been moving their schedules. We've had first the James Bond 25, then we've got Wonder Woman 84. There is a follow-up to the...
Can I pause you 1 second? The James Bond movie takes place in 1925.
And it's the 84th Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, okay, it's the 84th Wonder Woman. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Bond 25, Wonder Woman 84, and then a movie that is sure to be set in the present day and is just the second in the series of like the Kenneth Branagh Poirot Agatha Christie thrillers, Death on the Nile. They've all moved out
of December. The Poirot Cinematic Universe.
Oh, so exactly.
The PCU.
Oh, yeah. The Branosphere.
It's the PCU. The Poirot Cinematic Universe. Yeah. But those have all moved out of December, so people are sort of speculating that there's quite a clear path, you know, as if Episode 9 wasn't already going to be the biggest thing that ever came along.
They're making way.
Everyone's making way. So it's kind of exciting. You know, mark your calendars for however many times you want to see it. This wasn't really a news story.
This is an advertisement for the
episode 9 coming.
We're sponsored this week by that article I read.
Hey, I think we know a movie you're really going to love, fans. Episode 9.
Ryan, there's been a crime.
There's been
a crime, Sam.
No, Ryan.
You want me to cover it? Yeah. So, seems that on the set of The Mandalorian, there was a little bit of mischief going on. Somebody, I have to say the clickbait of this kind of like sells a false bill of goods, where they say there's been a theft on the set of The Mandalorian. Yeah. You think it's going to be like a set of armor or a script, and they just said it was a piece of camera equipment. Now I understand to the production, that's a big deal. But the real kicker is that they're apparently, reportedly, unable to locate a memory card.
Oh, that's bad news.
I mean, that's worth its weight in gold, but more than its weight, really.
Yeah, I was going to say probably more.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know what the current gold standard is, but you know.
But I mean, I hope they're making backups of that stuff. I hope we got an offline edit version of that somewhere, right? You don't think
God,
it's
I
the
hope
only...
Favreau didn't miss his one take of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And
hey, wipe that card. We got it backed up, right?
Well, we know what the first episode of the reboot of Dinner for Five is going to be about.
Yeah.
When I was shooting the Mandalorian, we lost a memory card.
And then the first 5 minutes, the power goes off.
It's what I'm saying is, if you're worried about Mandalorian spoilers, maybe stay away from the internet for the next few days, because I think, unless someone doesn't know what they have,
I hope
you know, it's
also,
like one of those.
Also,
things.
I just want to say, it's about $80. Like, because a memory card weighs about 2 grams, and gold right now is $40 a gram.
Okay.
All right.
So
$80
I think,
in
like,
gold.
It's probably worth more than its weight
in
gold.
If they didn't
do backups, I guarantee to Disney it's worth more than
$80. It's probably worth $3 million. I mean, I hope it's just close-ups of just, like, hands grabbing stuff. Like, it's one...
But what do these hands mean?
Yeah, it's like one of those days where they're just like, we'll just pick up a bunch of shots.
You're talking about Hans Solo?
New character in The Mandalorian.
Hondo Solo. Just a day of inserts.
Yeah, that's it. It's
But I mean, you know, this is a.
But who's
doesn't bode
that?
Well for old Favs, you know?
Who's
Lucasfilm is known to fire a director over less.
Yeah. I hope it's a clear case of the AD lost it and he's like, someone stole it.
Here is what I'm gonna. This is my.
He left it in a newspaper.
He left it in a cab.
He realized that it was in his sandwich.
Yeah, he's like, oh no, I just
ate. Waiting for it to pass. Here's my message. I'll send out to Lucasfilm, Kathy. I know you're listening. Listen, it's easy to point fingers. Someone's always looking for someone to blame.
Mm-hmm.
Accidents happen. No one should lose their job over this. Things get lost.
Yeah.
Okay. So take it easy. These people.
Ryan, do you have something to tell us? Do you have something?
Yeah.
Do you have something you need to say?
Grip work. And I was hoping. Yeah, I got to fly out to. Where are they shooting this? Toronto.
Really?
I have no idea. Is there any?
No. Are they shooting?
Did
in
I
Toronto?
Make that up? Oh no! Last week someone said something else was shooting.
Oh
in
yeah,
Toronto.
The what we do in the shadows.
Gotcha. Yes.
Okay.
Of course, I get those confused a lot.
I was gonna say
Toronto's
desert,
a lovely city, and I'd
the
be
deserts,
happy to go there.
The deserts of Toronto.
I do. I like Toronto a lot, but and I'd be happy to go. But
If we have any listeners from Toronto,
keep an eye out, everybody. If someone's trying, someone says, "Hey, kid, come over here. You wanna buy a memory card? Buy a memory card? You want any Star Wars memory cards? Maybe think about buying it."
Also,
that's what I'm saying.
Also, to the people that stole the memory card, if you want to show us the footage for us to talk about, we'll do it.
I like to imagine that there's like someone like in a cartoon that's wearing like a trench coat that they open up the sleeve and it's just like a bunch of memory cards dangling from different shows
just
currently
different
in
movies,
production.
Like Fast and Furious.
You want a Game of Thrones? Want a Shaw and Hobbs? Because that's what they're shooting right now, not the Fast and the Furious.
Oh. What is it?
The Shaw and Hobbs. It's part of the Fast and the Furious universe.
Oh,
this
really?
Isn't a joke.
It's called...
Oh, my God. My dog's really upset about it.
Hey, your dog has perfect comedic timing.
She thinks that one's... Oh, she went woof.
Wait, what is Shaw and Hobbs? Can we take
a
side tangent?
It's Jason Statham and The Rock.
Oh, they're the characters from the Fast and Furious series.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason.
All right,
Statham
Chris. I know there wasn't much context, but like, come on.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
You're being a little what my father would call slow on the uptake.
Slow on the intake. Slow on the uptake.
Was that a joke?
There's been a crime.
It's a car reference. Okay.
All right,
Chris, I want right now.
Yeah,
we're gonna wrap this up because we clearly it's a slow news week and
very slow.
And we got a lot of dead
hello
air,
and
gonna,
welcome
we're gonna, But we're going to close
yeah.
with everybody's favorite segment, hot and fresh updates from episode 9.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
what did you learn this week that you think might happen, Chris?
Oh, my God. All right.
Hot and fresh. It's the hot and fresh takes. Hot and fresh for episode 9.
Oh, no. All right. Interior day.
Do they define things as night and day in Star Wars?
Well, they should.
In scripts, they do.
Yeah, they should. They should.
I'm with Chris on this one.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, hold on.
Rey is using her holographic camera to film something. She sets it down on the table behind her to get space lunch. She exits. All of a sudden, we see someone enter. Takes the camera. She comes back and says, "Oh no, where's my camera?" A set PA says, "I don't know. I don't know. I was just standing here, and then I don't know. It wasn't here."
See, you think they're gonna go full Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
I think they're
with
gonna
episode 9.
I think they're gonna.
The real spoiler there is that Rey appears in the Mandalorian.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing. No, no, they're just pulling from the Mandalorian real life experience.
I thought you were implying that they used the real footage.
This is a scenario where episode 9 is ripped from the headlines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Going to be a very topical movie.
About if the we inner could just... workings of Lucasfilm.
Exactly.
If we could just go around here to wrap it up, I just like each of us. I think we'll start with Chris, and then we'll go to Ryan, and then I just want each of us to just however we feel it's appropriate apologize to Mike for this episode, and then we'll close it out.
My liege, I am on bended knee. Please forgive us,
Mike. You're great. And you host the podcast so good. And when you're not here, we always think it's like a kid that's like, I could drive if I had to.
Right now, we're inside of a convenience store.
Someone gave us the keys.
We drove into Danny. We drove into Danny Tanner's home tonight.
We just all you got here is a bunch of Stephanies.
You got a bunch of Stephanies. Whoa, baby.
Mike.
Have mercy, Mike.
I want to say that, you know, there's two kinds of people in the world. There's the kind of people that judge on results, and there's the kind of people that judge on effort. And I just want to thank you for being the latter. We love you, buddy. See you next week.
Get better soon, Mike. Next week.
This is an episode as if like Mike's not coming back to the podcast. Also.
A very special episode of the droids you're all looking for.
We'll see everyone next
week. If you
week,
or any of anyone
great.
You know is suffering from a missing podcast number, call.
Also,
888.
Yeah. I would say that.
Yeah, also, what, Chris? What
any
were you going to say?
I was just going to say, any listeners out there, if you have a favorite John Williams theme, it doesn't have to be Star Wars, but it'd be great if it was. Write in, let us know.
Hold on, Chris is having a savant moment.
Wait a second. Write in, let us know, droidspod@gmail.com. And also, I think it's fair to announce that this is the first episode on our new host, audioboom.com. Audioboom.com, providing podcast with host. I don't know if they have that catchphrase or anything. But let us know if you have experienced any technical issues. There's a little bit of a transfer.
Yeah, this podcast notwithstanding.
Let us know if you're not hearing this.
Yeah. No, they're like, we had to switch up the feed. Not to get too inside podcast baseball, but we had to like switch up the
this
feed.
This is all
anything.
Getting cut out. Don't
so
worry.
Say
whatever you
any,
want.
If you experience any difficulties, please let us know. And
please let if you experience any difficulties, please let Chris know.
Yeah, please let me know.
They've started doing construction in my apartment.
He seems like, all right, Ryan is just hitting.
There's
a hammer
just walls
off of a
falling
table.
Down around me. I'm about to be scooped up.
Ryan's on the set of the Mandalorian.
No, I think what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, at the top of the show, we might want to do some. We might want to revisit some of the scores, just because that was. I think we barely scratched the surface, and just even talking about John Williams, you know, and excited all of us. So I think we could revisit some of that. We still have coming up. We want to do our Sam's second viewing of The Last Jedi. And we've got a few other ideas percolating. So, right. Don't ever judge a podcast on one episode. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, there's more than a year before episode 9. We know it. You know it.
Listen, Stan Lee said every comic book is someone's first comic book.
Right.
And what I'm saying is I'm praying he was wrong and that does not apply to podcasts.
Ryan, how are you going to cut this one up?
Yeah.
I'm not, baby.
I can't wait. This is great.
Do you guys think I cut these?
All right, guys. You can follow us on Twitter at DroidsPod, on Instagram at DroidsPod.
Hey, you're going to want to give me the password.
And if anybody has the password to our Twitter out there, please send it to DroidsPod @gmail.com.
Write in if you really thought this was a great episode, because we'll take notes. If you really thought it was a weak one, we know. Don't worry about it. You don't need that.
No need to tell us.
We don't need that feedback. Just come back next week when Mike's here. Mike, come back.
Please come back.
And that'll do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
And that'll do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Star Wars Droids podcast.
We have what they grow beyond.
Perfect.
You boys want to go to medieval times? Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.